A little less than a week ago, I dropped my predictions on what was the craziest 24 hours in the history of college football realignment. There were rumblings. It would have been Thursday. Yeah, last Thursday. I can't remember the date off the top of my head, but there were rumblings that the pack was going to splinter. Maybe they're going to stay together. I made some predictions. And I got to tell you guys, I'm not always right. I get that, especially on Cougar Sports Saturday. I've got a lot of BYU takes that are wrong. But boy, did I nail this one right on the head. And now that the dust has settled, I just want to recap all the facts, give you my thoughts on why it happened. And gosh, I still can't believe it happened. But I just want to... I already did this on Cougar Sports Saturday, kind of went through all this, but I just want to do it one final time now that it's been several days and there's been some more reports about what was actually offered to the Pac-12. So I just want to get all these thoughts out of my head into this pod and close the book on this latest wave of realignment. That's the plan. Let's get to it. Like I just said, guys, the craziest 24 hours in the history of college football realignment. We had the demise of a conference over 100 years old. That just hasn't happened. Even the Big 12, which on many times looked like it was on the brink of extinction, they found a way to keep it together. And there was a sense that this could happen with the nine schools that were left in the Pac-12 after Colorado, USC, and UCLA left. But that was not to be, and gosh, there's been some good reports that have come out. I just want to touch on what was actually on the table and whether or not it was as bad of a deal as everyone's made it out to be. So let's get into those facts first. Let's start with the most recent report from John Canzano. He's a multimedia journalist, radio host out in Oregon. Had a lot of reports over the months and really over a year. From the Pac-12 side of things, he reported that ESPN in the fall of 2022 had offered to take on the Pac-12 network and do all of the broadcasting, football, hoops, everything, fully ESPN for $30 million per school, per year. Pac-12 turned that down. The Pac-12 board told George Kliavkov to go back and counter with $50 million a year. Unbelievable. $50 million a year. That story alone illustrates exactly why this conference died. Because they had an unrealistic view of who they were and what value they brought. You have USC. You have UCLA. Sure, we can talk $40 and $50 million a year. Not without USC and UCLA, not without the Los Angeles market, which is one of the biggest TV markets in the entire country. It's comical to think that you could lose those schools and go to the negotiating table and go with $50 million. Like, it's no wonder in the final months that reports were ESPN was out. Because when you come to the table with that kind of ridiculous offer, it's over. It's one thing to, you know, this happens all the time to me when I sell stuff on KSL, classifieds, and on Facebook. Like, I'm doing it right now. I'm trying to sell a desk. I list the desk for $75. And it's fairly common in the Facebook marketplace world, which I don't think is all that different than negotiating a TV deal, believe it or not. Hey, I listed for this number. If you come in so low, it's offensive. I'm not even responding. I'm just deleting the message. And I think that's what kind of happened with ESPN last fall. That 50 without USC? Yeah, no thanks. We're going to move on. And they were never really a player in the negotiations. So that story from Canzano... just unbelievable. And then on top of that, though, Kliavkov, he is by far
Let me rephrase that, actually. He is someone who, you know, you point the finger at Larry Scott, maybe the Pac-12 presidents. You got to point the finger at him, too, because he's got to go back to those dudes and say, are you guys serious? $50 million without USC? Like, let's take the 30, let's have some security, and we'll figure it out. We could expand, and maybe the next TV deal, we can up that number. Just comical that you turned down $30 million. And mind you, the last second Apple deal that nearly kept them together had a base of 25, and it was entirely streaming. Think about that. They had ESPN for 30, turned it down. A year later, all they had left was Apple streaming, $25 million. It's incredible. And there was another story, too, from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports, where he kind of summarized that when ESPN went to the table, this was prior to ESPN offering $30 million, he went to the table saying, we want 75% of what the Big Ten is getting. Like, give me a break. That is ridiculous. So, it's pretty clear from all of the reporting since the conference broke up that their expectations were through the roof. And they always were, but even more so than normal, out of touch with who they are. The presidents, all the way down to the fan bases within that conference, felt like they were one of the best conferences in college football. And at the end of the day, they were no better than the Big 12 and no better than the ACC. It was the Big 10 and the SEC and everybody else. And that attitude where, I don't know if it's West Coast elitism or what, but that attitude eventually did them in. And it's kind of sad, too. I think one takeaway that I had from when it all melted down was Oregon and Washington heading to the Big Ten for low $30 million. Nearly the same deal that the Big 12 has. Not that higher than what they were originally offered in 2022. It's just, I know that there's hope for Oregon and Washington that down the road they're going to get a bigger piece of the pie when the Big Ten renegotiates. But one thing we need to know and we need to understand about the future of college football, there's not as much money in TV rights deals as everyone thought there was. The ACC, which is trying to figure out, do they bring in Stanford and Cal, which is ridiculous, they couldn't come to an agreement within the conference in large part because they didn't want to share more money. It wasn't going to bring in more money. They were just going to be diluting the shares. And look, the Big Ten has got a strong case to be the most valuable college football conference product with the West Coast expansion. I think the SEC is a better conference top down, but look, they got Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA on top of what they already got. So they've got a great case to be the highest paid conference from a network perspective, but they've just added four schools since they announced their biggest TV deal. I just don't see a way that they get $60, $70, $80 million a year in the next wave of TV deals. Unless there's some breakthrough with streaming, there's some change in the way that these games are sold that bring in more revenue that they can kick back to the schools. But at some point, you've reached the limit of what it is, and I think we've reached that point in college football. So, super sad for the Pac-12. I just hate hearing the reports. But yet, it's not surprising at all that they're turning down good deals, that they went to the bargaining table with an unrealistic number. It's not surprising in the slightest. And that's why it's over for the Pac-12. And I gotta say, too, something that bothered me about the four corner schools joining the Big 12 is that they're getting a full rip of the revenue next year, right when they step in, whereas BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF will only get a 50%. It might be 75%. It's either 50 or 75. Now that I think about it, it might be 75. I think it goes 50 this year, 75 next, and then they're a full rip together. Brett Yormark has made it abundantly clear in these negotiations that he does not value those new four schools. He doesn't. Because I think it is absolutely ridiculous that those schools will not be making the same money as the Utahs and the Arizona States. Especially since all of those presidents and ADs had a bunch of interviews after they joined the Big 12. And Arizona State was like, yeah, we don't really want to be here. Like, we liked the Apple TV deal. We wanted to stay together. So we're gonna put them on a pedestal in the Big 12 when they don't want to be there and they don't give a rip. And there's four schools in BYU, Cincinnati, UCF, and Houston that are doing, you know, they are spending money they don't have. Not BYU, but the other three, to build facilities, football complexes, stadium upgrades. They're building all these facilities to get to that power level, and they're not going to have the money. And the Big 12 has the money because they got it from Oklahoma and Texas. So I just don't like the precedent that's being set here by Brett Yormark. There's very few things to criticize him for, but I think this is one of those things where let's not set a precedent that we're going to cater to these new schools. The Big 12 could have left them out to dry. There were seven teams left in the Pac-12. Go figure it out. Good luck getting 30. Good luck getting 25 without Oregon and Washington. Let's see what can happen. They threw them a bone because they wanted to stabilize themselves, which I'm not sure they did, bringing in some schools that don't want to be there. If they had just brought Colorado and Arizona, that makes sense. Then I don't think we're having the same discussion. But when you bring in Arizona State and Utah, which had absolutely no interest in being in the conference, and you threw them a lifeline, and then you treat them like they're better than other schools, that's the problem I have. I feel a little bit like, you know, there's this old, at least in my faith growing up, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, there is this story told, I've heard it so many times, where there's a hiker, he meets a rattlesnake, he stays close, the rattlesnake lures him in until the point that he can bite him, and then he does, and the hiker's like, why'd you do that? I thought we were cool, you promised me. And he's like, dude, I'm a rattlesnake. What do you expect? I feel like there's a little bit of that with Arizona State and Utah, where if they're not going to be good partners, they're looking for the exit door. If you don't want to treat them like everyone else, then there's going to be problems. So that's something to keep an eye on. Is this conference unified going forward with these new schools? Or is there going to be a Pac-12 versus the Big 12 within the Big 12? Brett Yormark has to protect that at all costs. And even worse, would there be old Big 12, Group of Five Big 12, and then Pac-12 Big 12? And none of them get along. And there's division within the conference. That is a problem that could arise. I hope it doesn't. It rests entirely on the shoulders of Brett Yormark to get everyone unified and stabilized, because the revenue share split, to me, does not speak to fairness and equality in the conference. It sounds like an overvaluation of Utah, Arizona State, Arizona, and Colorado to get them in just for the sake of expansion and stability. So we'll have to see where it goes from here, but those reports were tough to read regarding all the options that were on the table for the Pac-12 that they turned down before it all went south. All right, I think that'll do it. I think that's all I'm going to touch on for Big 12, Pac-12 for now. Football season right around the corner. Got a lot of great content coming your way on Cougar Sports Saturday, on KSL Sports, and I'll try to figure out some interesting angles here in my own personal pod that differentiates between what I do there and what I do here. So, thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it. And until the next time, have a good one.